Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ah, oh, crap! I almost forgot! Wait! Chaw! I'm saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big Chief! The best.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan. Well, my
mind is going. All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. We're going to talk a little Carmelo Anthony, 15th all-time leading scorer.
That was a really cool moment in the locker room after the game. He had some pretty sweet stuff to say about Damian Lillard as well.
Yeah, Dame's really just, I think Dame just kind of reinforces your belief that they should have risked it for a big name star at some point.
He said he's been giving Melo a hard time this entire run in the bubble. Like, man, you should have been here 4 years ago. Remember when you could have come here, but you wanted to go to Oklahoma City instead?
Well, I saw the locker room thing, and I thought that was really cool. And then I thought, I remember the people arguing about Boogie. And I know Boogie has since gotten hurt and is not what he once was. But I remember the argument was like, he's a cancer to your locker room. And I thought, as long as that dude's here, you don't really have that problem.
No, I trust Damian Lillard to be a leader you need.
By the way, bubble update. The Suns are up 12 on the OKC Thunder, and some people believe that the Thunder are not going to play Chris Paul in the fourth quarter.
So that would keep them alive. They needed that win. I think they're, a game behind? Let me double check.
One game behind Portland, a half game behind San Antonio for that 9 seed.
Yeah, they're a game and a half behind Memphis. So this was a must-win to stay alive for them.
And DeAndre Ayton skipped his test, which many people were like, how did that happen in the bubble where testing is the only thing you have to do outside of playing the basketball games? But he took one this morning. He got his results in time, and he booked it. He actually showed up to the game a little late, got on the stationary bike, and ended up playing.
Let's go, baby.
All right. Well, hour two, we're supposed to kick off with the NFL whip around, so let's get it going.
Frozen Tundra.
How about them Cowboys?
By the way, Oregon is holding workouts right now.
Okay.
So I think every program's kind of just waiting to get before they get the shutdown there.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well keep going and working out. I think practice is supposed to, nobody really knows, but supposed to begin, I believe, on August 17th, somewhere in that range. But they're working out right now.
I feel like I'm entertaining a maybe fringe conspiracy theory here, but Ooh. Let me ask you this.
Ooh.
I still think college can be, we can talk about college here. A lot of those guys are going to be in the NFL. So the We Are United, We Want to Play group of players all throughout the country now, all the conferences.
Yes. Did you see, by the way, the backstory on how it was created?
Yeah, it was a D lineman did it in 20
at Wazoo,
minutes. Right?
At Wazoo D lineman was like, yeah, I got this, man. Sent it out to everybody, and now it's gone viral. It's a big deal.
What drugs do you think he took? They said it took 20 minutes.
Let's go Cougs, man. He was dialed in, ready to go.
He really was. It was a really cool story. But that whole group, you know, they're looking for demands. There are some that wonder aloud, is this about COVID, the shutdown and canceling a season, or is this about not giving players what they want? Which is why some people believe so many players are speaking out today. It's because that might be a scenario.
Yeah, it's. I had Ross Dellinger on Friday, and we talked about the Pac-12 call with Larry Scott. The first one happened on Thursday night. And everything out of that call was positive, that they mostly talked about health and safety stuff. The money thing didn't really come up that much. That was the report, and everybody kind of seemed to think, all right, this will probably be okay. The reporting on Friday night into Saturday was not that. It did not go well. Larry Scott was dismissive, according to reports. Didn't take it seriously. The players were absolutely pissed. Like, that thing took a turn for the worse. Now, that has gotten lost in translation because of what happened with the Mac and obviously everything that's happened now in the last 24 hours. But I 100% believe that is a big, big, big deal with this, with the major conferences.
So that's more than COVID to you.
I do.
This is a way to avoid.
Again, this goes back to, this is why it's so, there's like a million different things that are conflicting into one answer of, will we have a football season? And that is one of them.
I know. It could. But it seems odd that that's, the pandemic should be taking precedent. Like, that's what they should base this off of, right? And I know they can point to that and say, well, it's COVID. What can we do? But it's pretty messed up if this is also a part of avoiding negotiation or avoiding helping the players get more of what they want. And to that, I would say, if there's any element of truth to that, get ready. Because I don't think this group is going to just die in 2021.
No,
I think the group's
going
to be different because some guys will go pro and some guys will still be. But they are going to be looking at trying to get what they're aiming for. And COVID, no COVID, at some point you're not going to have an easy out, right? Like, the players, if they're maintaining that they want some of their demands to be met, you're not going to have an out next year.
Right.
And then what happens when those players, if they threaten to sit out?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence in that thing, the one that was created by the Wazoo player, he's the one that is, but he's been the most prominent player that shared it. It even got shared by the president. They're demanding essentially a players association, a players union. that is a game changer for college sports. And this goes back to the, if you have some play and some not play, some with students on campus, some with not, you're essentially saying we need to have this season to make money. And you know what that does? That flips the entire amateurism argument on its head. You can no longer argue that these are just regular student athletes that are getting a scholarship and then going on their way in life. Like, these are guys that you need to make money, and this is a professional sport. And so it's a very tricky thing for them to navigate, of trying to have a season while also considering these people unpaid amateur athletes.
Yeah, it's heating up right now. Just to give you an update on Twitter, on the whole, once Nick Saban made his comments public and ESPN published a story right at the top of the show, basically just saying, yeah, you're safer, you're better off with me than you are staying at home. That set off a bit of a firestorm on social media now. Well, so now you get the debate of,
I also
safe or not safe.
Want to point this out, and I don't, this is just an opinion, this is not a fact. I doubt that if the season ends up getting canceled, that every coach in the country would immediately send their players home. I think that they would do it, whether you're on campus or not, whether you're distance learning or not. You're telling me that they don't want to have those guys around working out, that they don't want to have an eye on them and to be able to keep tabs on what their players are doing? Like, give me a break. These coaches are going to absolutely want their players to stick around on campus if they can. I mean, they're all already there working out, so they have places to live, obviously.
Can I ask you a very quick question?
Like, they're not all just going to go back to their hometowns and deal drugs.
What do these coaches think players are going to go do at home?
Right.
Maybe there's validity to what they're saying. I'm not going to pretend. I do think it's questionable and okay to wonder aloud, are they really safer at school? Or are you just pushing this because we know how much money's on the table here? I would like to ask a coach, what do you think players go home and do? Right. Gallivant with like 300 people with no masks and just rub rub bodies together.
I think for the most part, 18 to 22 year olds are pretty untrustworthy.
There's element to that.
That exists whether you're on campus or off campus. Well, still college kids are going to do college things.
I guess my point is to say, like, do you think they're really at more risk at home than on a campus with smoking hot people and alcohol and drugs going on? Right.
Like, just use Oregon as an example.
Did you see Georgia, by the way?
No, I didn't. No.
Georgia had to make, they had these mask protocols, these standards, right? University of Georgia, they put in their standard and practices for COVID. If you're going to have sex, you have to wear a mask.
Wear a mask during sex, man.
Never mind the other parts of your body touching.
It takes a lot of things off the table.
A lot of us are already used to doing that.
Like, take Oregon for an example, right? The season ends up getting canceled. We find that out in the next couple of days. Do you think Mario Cristobal is going to send every one of his players back to their home cities?
Well, no, because to your point, I think you'd rather, as a coach, you'd rather have him on campus, working out, eating great.
Being around the
building
program.
Building culture,
Exactly. You're still, I mean, they're doing it right now with masks. It's just a question of, is it safe to actually play a season? I don't see why that would change anywhere. So it's this, we're given this false equivalency of either there is a season or they're all going to go back to their hometowns and it's going to be a free-for-all. And that's not the case.
All right. Should we get to NFL stuff?
Do you want
to get to NBA?
Let's get to the NBA.
The biggest NFL note was that Darius Geis.
I don't want to talk about that.
Domestic violence.
No. Can we get to something that's a little cheerful today? Dame dropped 50, man. Morikawa had a great drive on 16.
Is this bumming you out? All this college football talk?
I mean, it is a bummer, man. I love college football.
It is. It's a bummer to me, too, man. I wish people would understand. We are so much more alike. We all want this to happen.
Yes.
I'm so tired. And you know what? It's the media members that are doing the dividing more than anybody right now. It's the Clay Travis, Joel Klatt, Barrett Salee group coming together, calling out everybody else for not being man enough or tough enough to want football to just go right along. It's annoying. I want it to happen, man. I do.
Yeah, I love thinking of Saturdays in October when you're waking up, that weather's turning a little bit. You don't have a Big Ten game to wake up to at 9 a.m. It's depressing to think about.
You're wearing your team gear. Right? You got a fight song going. You do a tailgate. We got so many great things from college football.
Yeah, it was going to be a really exciting year for all four schools in the Northwest. It might still end up happening. We don't have a final conclusion on it yet.
True.
I want to make sure that is known, that we desperately want for there to be a season. We might disagree on whether it's safe or not, but it is depressing to think about not having a year.
I think it's not a disagreement on safe. It's more of a disagreement on it's probabilities. It's worst scenario outcomes.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Without a doubt.
By the way, Tennessee's Chancellor just went to football practice, and I'm stunned by this development, but she tweeted a picture of her in front of all the players and said, "I asked the players and the coaches what they wanted, and they all had a resounding, we want to play." What did you think going to football practice they were going to say?
They were going to yell out, "Nah, man, we're good. We're going to sit out. We're cool."
I was led to believe there'd be punch and pie.
All right, well, NFL whip around. Not much NFL. Actually, no NFL. All college football. All right, let's move on now. The Blazers, they beat the 76ers, 51 points for Damian Lillard. A cool factoid about that. And bubble update, where they sit on the 8-9 stuff. That's next. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Well, 8 games is rather odd because you go from feeling great that the Blazers are 3-1.
Let's go, baby.
On their way to get the 8th seed.
Let's go.
And then Memphis wins a game. And then Portland loses to the backup Clippers. So they drop to 3-2. Memphis is kind of holding on to that 8th seed. Portland fighting with Phoenix and San Antonio. They were above Phoenix by a game, a half game above the Spurs. By the way, Phoenix is up 95-79. I think Chris Paul is done. That game's probably over.
They win. They're only a half game behind you in the standings with 2 to go for each team.
Should also be pointed out the Blazers' opponent tomorrow is Dallas at 3:30. Yeah. They did not play Doncic and Porzingis in their game today against Utah. Many think they'll play tomorrow. They're 2 games back Let's see. They're two games back of the sixth seed. So actually, no, that's done. Utah will clinch that. So they may not play. Maybe Porzingis and Doncic don't play.
It could be a Paul George situation where you see him for chunks of the game just to stay fresh, but they're not playing in crunch time.
Right. So that would be an advantage for Portland if you get those two guys out. That's 3:30 tomorrow on TNT. But here we are, Dirt. 51 points from Damian Lillard yesterday against the 76ers, who had no Ben Simmons. Embiid did almost nothing before he left with an ankle injury. They are one of the worst teams in the bubble in terms of how they've looked, and they pushed Portland to the brink. But 51 points from Damian Lillard
saved
them and has them at 4-2. If they win their two games, they're obviously going to be into the 8-9 matchup. But right now, there's still a bit of uncertainty there.
Yeah, it was a frustrating weekend, I think, to say the least, because of what you got against the Clippers. Dame missing the free throws at the end, which is, I mean, it's going to happen to the best of them. Those kind of situations will arise. And he clearly showed that he was over it yesterday with his 51-point performance. But you could get to the point now where you look at the end of this and you just kick yourself, because there wasn't really an excuse to lose that game. And if you would have won it, you'd be in great standing right now to pick up the 8 seed and only have to win one game. Now that is still an uphill battle for you with only two games to go and still needing to make up a little room against Memphis. Defensively, I don't even really know where to begin. They were bad in both games, giving up 121 points to a Sixers team that played without Simmons, obviously, who's hurt, and then Embiid only played 6 minutes and had 2 points early on. That was it. And you still gave up 121 and allowed him to shoot nearly 50% from the floor.
Defense has been kind of shaky, dude, man.
You were great. It got off to a great start, holding him to 19 in the first quarter. Then you gave up 39 in the second and 34 in the third. The third quarter continues to be an issue with them. I don't know what that is, why they haven't been able to resolve that, but they're just an atrocious third quarter team, and you clench your butt every time they come out of the locker room, just hoping they'll hold on to whatever lead they have found a way to build. I think you're again saying thank God for Damian Lillard. He finds ways to save you, and he comes up big when you need it the most. And a loss yesterday would have been depressing and devastating at the same time. But he has 51, knocks down some big threes, a four-point play late, finds a way to get it done, even on a night where he didn't light it up from three like we saw him when he went for whatever it was, 46. I think he made 11 threes or whatever in that game, only four last night, so he can do it in different ways. But thank God for Damian Lillard, man.
Yeah, their offensive rating has been, they've actually been the best offense in the bubble restart. They're scoring more than 120 points per 100 possessions in the six games that they've played. Mm-hmm. Defensively, I could ask you to guess where they're at defensively. You'd probably nail it right on the head.
I'm going to guess bottom five.
They're in that. Yeah, they're 27th. They're 114th defensive rating. Their net rating is a minus 1.2, which leaves them around 19th. And I saw another blurb, this one from John Schumann, who writes for NBA.com. He's like, he's a real stat, analytically driven guy, writes articles about teams. How impressive has Portland been to you, right? Like, for as confident as I am personally that they're going to be in the 8-9 matchup to potentially get in the playoffs, he brings up a good point. Defensively, they've been horrid. Their best win is Houston, but they had an overtime victory against the Grizzlies, who are 1-5 in the restart. Yeah. At a 10-point win over Denver in a game that they trailed in with less than 6 minutes to go, in which guys PJ Dozier, Tyler Cook, and Kiede Bates, Diop were on the floor.
Yeah, Denver sack guys.
And a 3-point win over a Sixers group that you just explained to us. Your two best players are out. They haven't looked good at all.
Right.
They almost look like a team that's quit. And they dropped how many points?
121.
21 points on you?
121.
I thought CJ said he was good on defense.
Yeah, no, I didn't quite see that yesterday.
I didn't see that at all.
Didn't quite see that. I have a mixed bag with it, because everything you said is spot on. And I think those are valid things to bring up. We did have for the Denver game. Just kind of, you know, a win is a win. You take it. The same thing exists today. You're just trying to get into the playoffs. And I would love to watch Portland play for another couple of weeks. I think it would be great. Who knows how long a first round series would go, but that just, it would be fun, and I would love to see it. There are issues that exist on that end of the floor that leave you discouraged. The one thing, though, and this again pops up from time to time, is when you have a guy like Damian Lillard, there's always that hope in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
And yesterday, the Denver game, like, these are prime examples of, you might not have a good game. Gary Trent Jr. came back to earth. We knew he would eventually. He only had 5 points yesterday. You knew that was bound to happen. Zach Collins has been basically useless in the restart. I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
People love to just, you know, if he's not getting anything offensively, people love to argue back. Well, defensively. Well, I don't know. I'm not really seeing all that much.
Guy played 23 minutes. He had 6 rebounds. I didn't see a ton on that
end of the
floor.
He played 1 minute in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Didn't play him in crunch time. Nurkic got into foul trouble early. CJ had an off night yesterday, or an off day, I should say, yesterday. Mm. When you have Damian Lillard, it feels like you have a chance, and he has lifted you to wins against Denver and Philly.
Well, but Oh, go ahead.
I think to be fair, though, too, there were Blazers were without Whiteside, and they had Nurk sitting most of the game. Yep. So basically your big rotation was Zach Collins and Wenyen Gabriel.
That is valid. Nurk got in a foul trouble early, and he didn't have Whiteside. Whiteside, by the way, probable for tomorrow.
Well,
I saw that in injury.
Yeah, that's
update.
The other thing. We're not putting stock into Whiteside now? Like, we think he's that... Is he that valuable to Portland?
He's an actual center.
Yeah.
That's
I guess.
What I would say.
What's his best game in the restart? I know he's been banged up the last couple, but what's his best game?
He had one okay game. I want to say it was the Denver game.
Was that when he had, like, what?
I think he had an okay... Yeah, he got off to a rough start.
Like a
was pretty
double
useless
double.
In the first two. I think he was it was decent against Denver, and then he didn't play against the Clippers or the 76ers.
What he still is a big, long body in the middle of the key for the opposing team to get past.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't refute that. I did a... Crawford's doing a radio show in L.A. He called me yesterday. I went on it. And he asked me about Portland Lakers. You know, hey, are you guys all in on them beating the Lakers?
Let me tell you why Paul George is the best player in the league.
And... You know, I told him, like, look, there's belief because it's a nightmare matchup for L.A. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, given they haven't secured an 8-9 situation.
You got to get in first.
But my point to bring this back was to simply state, you know, I know why Portland feels how they feel. Dame makes you feel a certain way of comfort, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nobody that will really stop him on that team. Alex Caruso. If Alex Caruso's shutting down Damian Lillard, we need to have a conversation.
That's J.J. Barea versus LeBron.
But who's stopping Anthony Davis and LeBron?
Yeah, I don't even want to.
We go so far. Right. I know we're getting ahead of it, but people here in Port, we do this. Like we because Dame's so great, we look over all the other faults of our. We have no defense. We do not play good defense as a team. That's just a fact so far. Yeah. Statistically speaking, they have not had that big turnaround defensively with Nurk and Collins. Quite like we thought that they would.
The loss of Ariza hurts.
The loss of Ariza was really big for them. Now, Trent Jr. still been awesome. I don't care if he had a five-point night. He's still giving you a lot defensively, and that's been beneficial. Melo has helped out, obviously. But where are you at right now with Portland? Are you still pretty confident in that 8-9 situation? Phoenix is looming. They have just been playing lights-out basketball. The Spurs haven't gone away at all. And the Grizzlies are so up and down, and they're losing one of their best players. They've lost one of their best players. It's really hard to tell. So how do you feel about where Portland is right now? 503-250-1080. We got more Blazer talk as they get ready tomorrow to take on teams. We'll give you an update with the bubble. More Blazer talk next, but first, Rust with the sports update.
Unleash the flu.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back, Cam. 137. Hope your Mondays are going well. We still haven't gotten to Colin Morikawa and his performance yesterday.
How about a drive in the green on a par four?
Unreal. There was a fight in baseball yesterday, too.
There was.
Joe Kelly was sitting around saying, those guys better get suspended for 1,000 years. Still going to get to both of those. But it was a pretty eventful weekend for Damian Lillard, and it continued into today. Every time his name pops up, I feel like I just end up quote tweeting something with the goat emoji. It's like every time there's a headline.
I did you see his post game press conference yesterday?
Yes. I don't know if I saw yesterday. I know I saw Saturday's because that one was hard to miss. I'm not sure I saw yesterday.
Was Saturday the one where he was asked about Pat Bev? And
yes.
Oh, okay. Then Saturday's.
It was incredible, man, and he was spot on. So if you didn't see what happened Saturday, I don't know how you would have missed it in Rip City, but he missed two free throws late in the game, which I think somebody did the analytical chances of that happening. It was like 1% of him missing both free throws based on his percentages on the year. He had a bad moment. They end up losing the game, a really bad loss. He bounces back with 51 points. But Pat Beverly was over on the bench tapping his wrist. He did the Dame wave goodbye. Paul George echoed it as well. And Dame was asked about those comments, and he basically said the reason they did that is because I sent them both home.
Yep.
I sent Paul George home last year. I sent Patrick Beverly home a number of years ago when he hit the game winner against Houston. That clearly is still on the forefront of their minds. And I thought his point was valid of this shows how much respect they have for me. They expect me to come up big in these moments. And when I don't, they want to chirp a little bit. That then escalated to Instagram. So the Bleacher Report tweeted out that video or a graphic of what he said. And Paul George responded to the Instagram post and saying, and you getting sent home this year, respect. Which is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Damian Lillard responded, keep switching teams, running from the grind. you boys as chumps. This escalated all the way to the point where
I loved the Instagram comment.
Right,
it's so good.
And then it turned into Dame's like sister was going at Paul George's girlfriend. Like this escalated quickly. And I gotta say, man, I loved every minute of it, and I loved Dame's comment.
Well, I think the good news for us here in Portland is that we know Paul George has zero loyalty to anything, so he could probably right. be in a Blazer uni in 2 years, and we'll get Paul George at the tail end of his career, helping us get a championship. Look, Damian Lillard said it as well as you could possibly say it. He owned missing and having the big moment, and he did not capitalize on that. Mm-hmm. But again, this is a guy that has such a track record that if you do, if you miss up or if you screw up or don't hit the shot one time, but you have like 15 over here, I'm not really going to care about your one time. I do think Pat Bev and Paul George obviously respect him as a player.
Remember the quote about Beverly we just talked to? He had a quote asking, JJ Redick?
On the JJ Redick podcast.
Asked who is the toughest guy to guard in the NBA. He said Damian Lillard.
See, and I think Pat Bev can have fun in that way, using his words and taking shots at him. Paul George is where it rings a little hollow. Paul George is the guy that got eliminated on a 37-foot shot and still had the audacity to say, oh, it's a bad shot.
Bad shot.
It's a bad shot. And, you know, for a guy who had no loyalty to Indiana, bolted as soon as he could get traded, and then signed a 4-year deal and then had no loyalty to Oklahoma City, and then went from Laker to Clipper to Laker to Clipper to Laker to then the Clippers offering a massive deal that they couldn't bypass. Your words mean nothing to me. There's no substance to Paul George talking because, as Dame pointed out, you haven't grinded it out. You bounce around team to team.
Yeah, you're running from the fight.
Hoping to be a champion. And by the way, fully acknowledging that by joining the Clippers, you're the number two. So people aren't going to view you in that light that you think they will. Dame pointed a lot of honesty out, a lot of truth to what he was saying on that, because Paul George is not one to me. I don't really need to hear it from him.
Yeah.
Pat Bev's been honest, and he's given Dame his due. He's just having fun in the game.
Well, and that is also who Patrick Beverly is.
Right.
Right? Like, that sums up Patrick Beverly perfectly. A guy who doesn't do a lot. He plays good defense. He's a pain in the absolute ass every time you see him on the floor. Of course, he's going to be the first one to taunt and run his mouth. That's exactly his role on the Clippers team. The Paul George one, I'm with you, was a little interesting because that one is recent memory. Like the Beverly shot, that was a number. That was Dame's, what, third year in the league? Second year in the league? That's early on in his career,
been
man. That's
second, yeah.
LaMarcus was still here, right? Like that was a long time ago that he
West
hit that shot.
And Rolo.
That was a completely different team. This was last year. And I love Dame's response of you're running from the fight. Paul George responded with something along the lines of, I had more success than you at my first stop. Yet, which I think furthers Dame's point that you made the conference finals, I believe, 3 straight years. I think Indiana did, and they lost to Miami like 3 straight years.
If it wasn't 3, it was 2.
And then he demands out and says, get me out of here. And then last year, after only 2 seasons in Oklahoma City, Dame sends him home. All of a sudden, you're demanding a trade. By the way, right after signing a max extension in Oklahoma City.
And throwing a party with Russell Westbrook, yes, celebrating that you were staying in Oklahoma City.
And then you say, no, trade me to the Clippers. I want to get out of here. Well, it continued with Dame into today. And this one, I think everybody just loves. And this came, Skip Bayless, I don't ever like bringing him up on the show, but I had to because of Dame's response. So he had a segment today on the Undisputed saying, I'm still not buying Dame time. And apparently the Clippers aren't either. Undisputed.
They still call that show Undisputed.
They do. It's the Undisputed Loser because nobody watches it. But Dame quote tweeted that tweet and said, I've never been buying anything about you, fam. You a joke. And after our private convo full of backpedaling, you will never have my respect. And this led to a lot of people saying, like, what was the private convo about? And one of them was somebody asked him what he has to say about LeBron.
Uh-huh.
And then Dame responded, ask him what he said when I asked, why are you always hating on Bron? Basically pointing to it's all a shtick. It's
the best player of generation. Right. I got to hate on him because everybody loves him. And if I hate on him, I'll stand out. So the people that hate him will join my group and I'll make millions of dollars. And then when I'm old, you'll find out that I didn't believe any of that stuff and you'll feel like a moron for believing me, not knowing I was doing it for money.
So hence the second emoji of the weekend. I gave him one for the Paul George stuff and I gave him one today for the Skip Bayless stuff, man. He just continues to grow in my heart.
Well, I think it's important to monitor what Dallas is thinking. You know, follow people that cover the Dallas Mavericks. That's your next game tomorrow. Pretty pivotal. Like I think Dallas is missing just something, whether that's that third person or that third player that can mean everything to you.
there's something a little off.
Yeah.
Doncic is really special a player. He can obviously win a game.
God, his night against Milwaukee, are you kidding
me? Insane. Insane what he did.
That was wild.
Porzingis has been really good in the restart bubble as well. It's troubling if they play because you worry about what that's going to mean defensively. Who's going to guard Luka Doncic? I don't know who's going to guard Porzingis. You got some tough defensive matchups to deal with there. And if you're to drop that game and then you move to 4-3 going into a Brooklyn game, yeah, you're putting yourself into a tough situation. But again, to address the very beginning of the show, I knew they didn't clinch the 8-9 matchup. Memphis has clinched one of those spots. That's a done deal. It's between you, Phoenix, and San Antonio and your next two to figure that out. It's because you have Damian Lillard. It's because you have a guy that can lose a game in heartbreaking fashion to a team that he knows he shouldn't lose to. Accept the onus of losing that game by not hitting two free throws and missing that three-point shot that he had at the end there. And then come back the very next game and drop 51 points. Right. And even though they didn't play perfectly and they had a lot of lapses defensively and it was frustrating, he didn't allow them to fully succumb to a backup Sixer squad the way they did against the Clippers. Does that mean they'll beat the Lakers? No. Does that mean they'll beat the Grizzlies and get in? No. But what it does mean is the next two games, you go in confidently because you have one of the more prominent leaders in the entire league and maybe in all of sports as the face of your franchise. Yeah. And by the way, I looked it up defensively. With Collins off the court, they're a 113 defensive rating. When he's on the court, they're a 111. Either way, they're not good defensively.
It's not making a huge difference.
Not good defensively.
Well, let's wrap this up coming up next because we had some thoughts rolling in about how people were feeling about the Blazers. 503-250-1080, that's a fan text line. Where are you at on Zach Collins? I think that's a whole different conversation. 23 minutes, only 2 points yesterday. Sprague just gave you the defensive ratings when he's on the floor. How big of a help will it be to have Hassan Whiteside back potentially in the next game as he's been listed as probable? We'll continue the Blazer conversation coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, Beaverton and Lower Division, all back up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com. I got some great deals going on in the month of August. I'll be back at the Glorious House of Games this week. Got some thoughts rolling in about the Blazers. I want to rattle through some of these. They got two games left. Now at 4-2 after their win yesterday, you got Dallas coming up. And then you close with Brooklyn. I believe Brooklyn is now clinched.
They're the 7th seed.
They're officially the 7th seed.
They clinched it when they beat the Clippers.
Which they will face Toronto in the playoffs.
Face Toronto. That's all set in stone.
You find it odd that the Lakers, and look, I'm not picking a side here. Something I've noticed. The Lakers lose, and it's like, it's the most doom and gloom. There's no chance they could ever get to a title.
Oh, is that a thing?
Well, it seems to be. Okay. And then the Clippers lose to the Brooklyn Nets. Without Kyrie and KD?
It's not a big deal.
Caris LeVert just destroys them? And no big deal? They'll be ready anyway, huh?
OKC up 123.99 at last check, so that thing looks basically wrapped up. Just a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter. You want to rattle through some of these? What do we got here? P1 Eric. People's stuck. We lost about... that's kind of jumbled. That just got jumbled together. Basically saying Dame said those are trap games because there are still NBA players who are hungry and trying to prove that they belong. That what Damian Lillard did make that point after their win against Denver, saying sometimes those games can be tougher because you take the opponent lightly if they're not playing their guys and you could get sucked into the trap.
Can I highlight something? I won't say he's right, right? He's Damian Lillard. He's right. You are sub 500. Who the hell are you to take anybody?
Right,
lightly?
You shouldn't, especially when you're coming into this playing as a this is our playoffs. We have 8 games to make the postseason.
Yeah,
there's not. I get that through the course of a regular season, you get a random game in November when you get somebody load managing and you take them lightly and you lose a game you're not supposed to. You got 8 games to make it, so I'm not quite all in on that.
Well, and then they lost. Okay, yeah, and to further that, like, they lost that game against the Clippers, and they'd probably be the first team to tell you they shouldn't have lost that game, but you did, and then you had, I would argue you had almost a worse performance the next day defensively against Philly, you just happened to win that game.
Well, you had Dame go for 51. If he just has a good night of 39 points and whatever else he had, 12 assists, whatever it was, you lose that game by double digits. Somebody texted in, defense is definitely a problem, but when it's all said and done, all you need to do is score more than the other team.
True.
Win is a win. So it's a pretty rational response.
Defense hasn't been great altogether in the bubble anyway, but it's just how much worse are you defensively than your opponent?
Yeah. Somebody said, Portland's playing against playoff teams. They are winning. They could be 5-0. I'm feeling good. Obviously, defensively, not good. If they fix their third quarter, they would be really good. Yeah, third quarter continues to be an issue.
That's kind of always been a thing with Stotts.
I don't. Yeah, it's just so weird how you haven't been able to correct that over the years, but it is rearing its ugly head. One of our P1s said, regardless of the defense, which is terrible, if they just played better team ball offensively, they could score 140 in Cruise.
Well, they fall into lapses where they stop moving the ball.
They do.
And when that happens, I mean, almost nothing good comes of it, right? Unless it's Damian Lillard going for a game winner or something. When they move that ball, man, and they've had some moments where it's looked good.
Yeah.
They almost had some moments in a few of their games that they've lost where you get frustrated looking at the TV, like, move
do
the
something.
Rock. Yes.
It's not even only that. It's the, you know, then on the opposite end of the floor, you're giving up basically a layup line.
Just easy.
Right.
Easy, easy. And I said this about Stephen Clay like a year or so ago. What I saw in the Western Conference Finals, and a big reason that they were able to beat Portland when many of us thought there was a chance, is because when you watch Stephen Clay, they move the whole game. Mm-hmm. They just don't stop. You didn't always get that with this backcourt. There's an element of ISO dribble ball that, you know, benefits guys like Dame and CJ because of how uniquely talented they are. But there are also moments, very pivotal moments from time to time in games where that just kind of stand and wait for the ball so you can do your thing. That can bite you a little bit. I've seen Dame get better at that, but that needs to be an area where both of them, I would say, like, if you're to nitpick their game, and it's very hard to do that when you're talking to those guys, it's something of that effect. It's you got to move more.
Yeah.
Because just standing at the wing waiting for the rock isn't always going to get it done.
Yeah, my unscientific study, too, feels like that happens primarily when CJ and Carmelo are on the floor at the same time and Dame's not on the floor. That's just a sense that I get. There's no truth behind it, or maybe there is, but there's no facts, I should say.
Melo's kind of a spot-up guy.
He can be, and so can CJ, which can be frustrating, but the Dame thankfully comes in and saves the day, as always. One text I wanted to read about Mario Hezonja. Somebody said, can we have a Discord about Hezonja? He's out there constantly making mistakes, tends to not really be self-aware of the current situation. Also lacks of self-confidence after a deep three hand in the air. Well, look, I can make that. I feel players show frustration towards him on the court. I'm afraid he comes out and the team doesn't gel well with him and the third quarters with him shows. Is he just really good in practice or am I missing something? That is a great question. I will say, scoring-wise, at least yesterday, he did have, I mean, he scored 12. He almost outscored CJ McCollum. I wanted to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. He just has that feel. There's no trust whatsoever when he's on the floor or when he has the ball.
Well, he's probably out there basically only two because you're without Whiteside and Nurkic is in foul trouble. So you have the other guys that are normally playing a three or a four going up to play a five, and then you have to have another swing slash almost big to come in and take some minutes.
I'm never been a fan. Never was a fan, never thought this was going to turn into anything. The guy has not had any success, I think, from a longevity standpoint in this league. I think in 3 years he's going to be playing in a European country of some sort, making good money, having a good life.
Yeah.
I just not a fan. And him being in this rotation, you know, I've heard all the argument. Oh, you know, I saw him, I think Terry's two different times come out and said he looks like he's putting the most work, he's getting the most shots. Man, it's either you play him or you play Nazir Little, and I'd rather invest in the future. So, yeah, if you have a young guy making a mistake from every now and then being out there for, what is his own you play, 9 minutes a game or whatever it is?
He played 25 yesterday, but it had shrunk down previously.
It had gone down a bit. I'd rather have the young guy knowing what the future is with him than a guy that you know is not going to be on this team in 4 years.
Yeah, somebody had texted in about Nazir Little. I'm all for that experiment as well. It felt like early on Mario Hezonja was getting the minutes, and then it switched after, I want to say, two games to Simons was getting those minutes. I think Stotts was trying to see if he could get him hot and kind of get a confident hand going, and Simons had zero impact on either of the games that he played in. And then to Russ's point, now you're a little bit shorthanded with bigger bodies, so you're not going to play a guard. You want Hezonja in there. Maybe he's playing some stretch four for you. And he ended up playing 25 minutes yesterday. I don't think that will continue when Whiteside comes back. And I'm with you. I would like to see Nazir Little. The other guy that I do think, and this is something that we can continue to follow as the bubble goes on.
By the way, the Suns won. That's
official. Okay.
The greatest basketball team in the month of August are the Phoenix Suns. 6-0.
6-0 now in the bubble.
6-0.
And we totally wrote them off, man. Give credit 100%. To Phoenix. I didn't think they were going to give a rat's ass about playing.
I didn't either.
Zach Collins needs to be discussed as well. I you know, somebody texted in he's the new Myers Leonard. I just. Like I do think I'm not throwing it out completely and saying it's all over, but in your restart games now, he is basically not had it. He hasn't had a double digit rebound game. He's come close twice. He's been in foul trouble in a handful of the games. See, 1, 2, it looks like 3 of the 6 games he's been in foul trouble. Yesterday was not in foul trouble. You needed a bigger body, and he only played 1 minute in the fourth quarter. It just has not quite clicked. He hasn't had a double-digit scoring game. Not that you're asking him to go out and score 20 points tonight because he's not going to get a ton of looks. I'm wondering where people are at on Zach Collins.
I can't imagine that they're in a very positive position with him. Remember, we talked about this with the 8-game sample size, not to go way overboard with one or the other. And that those two were Nurk and Collins. Remember, we said they're coming back from an injury. They've been out a long time. Who knows what you're going to get? And Nurkic got a great start, and Zach never has.
Yeah, Nurk has looked great.
And that's turning, well, he has and he hasn't. He's had his bad moments too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he has.
Foul troubles hurt this team, but he's had the bigger moments. And so because Zach hasn't quite had those, it's not really surprising me to get people that are wondering aloud now about this, which is just going to amplify next year. Because to me, it wasn't necessarily about an 8-game sample size going, okay, now I'm going to conclude that Zach Collins is blank because they played 8 more games. It was going to be, what does he look like? Because they had said he was ready to go in March, that he was going to come back. There was no doubt about it.
Yeah, you had 4 more months.
You got extended time off. You got time in the practice facility. And when he goes out there, he still looks like a lost pup who doesn't quite know how to run with his legs. You ever seen a dog like that? A big dog that runs and looks goofy? It's kind of what Zach Collins is. From time to time, it looks good. He'll have moments where he do some things defensively. You love the trash talk and get in people's face. But consistently on that basis, it has not been what we were told from Neil Olshey when he drafted him and traded 2 draft picks, by the way, to get that 10th pick.
Yeah.
But to me, it's not about 8 games. It is about, all right, we'll walk away. We may end up disappointed with what his performance was. You put all the eggs into next year's basket, and we see what he is for a full season, then we conclude. The Myers Leonard thing, it may be valid, and I get why people want to just jump to that conclusion and not wait at all. That's kind of what society is now. But my 2 cents is I'm not stunned that he's having a rough time, that he hasn't quite contributed how we thought he would, but it's only 8 games. He is going to be more judged on what next year is.
Yeah, which is frustrating because this year was supposed to be that year.
Right, this year, no doubt. But next year is the year, man. Because again, what happens if they make the playoffs and they push the Lakers 5 or 6 games? You know what the city's going to think. I've already seen it on Twitter. I saw it after 2 games. I saw people that comment on the Blazers on Twitter tell me that they're going to be a title contender next year with this group. Maybe they will. I like it. There's been moments where the flashes have been good. But Zach Collins, after 8 games, 6 games, 7 games, we shouldn't rush to judgment yet. Doesn't look promising, but next year is the pivotal year.
How dare you be rational? I'm fired up. If you want to get to those points and realize those dreams, expectations, whatever you want to call them, you need Collins, and you need him to play better than this. Defensively, you need him to score the ball a little bit. You need him to have some confidence out there on the floor, and you need him to stay out of foul trouble. And so that, I think those are some pretty primary things to watch over the next 2 games. And then if you are to get into a postseason series, you want any chance to guard guys like Porzingis, Anthony Davis. He's not going to be able to stop him, but you desperately need him and his athleticism out there on the floor playing better. And it hasn't looked good through 6 games.
Offensively,
so,
you know, I gave his defensive stuff. They're a 111 defensively. They go to a 113 when he sits. Offensively, when he's playing, they're a 122.8 offensive rating. Yeah. He slips to a 111. They slip to a 111.8 when he sits.
Yeah. So those are some good metrics behind it. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, Beaverton and Lower Division. All back up and running. Go check them out. Stop by one of their locations. They got great deals going on in the month of August. All right, we got a lot to get to in the final hour. Some thoughts continue to roll in. I'm sure we'll dive a little more into the Blazers. If there's any college football news we see, we'll get to that. We also got to talk about a baseball fight. We have a major championship.
How about a major
champion,
23 years old, winning the PGA championship?
We also got a young guy porking some old ladies for cash.
I'm in on that.
I want to talk about that story, too. It's going to be a load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.